From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 4. The ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kine. Pharaoh's dream has too often been my waking experience. My days of sloth have ruinously destroyed all that I had achieved in times of zealous industry. My seasons of coldness have frozen all the genial glow of my periods of fervency and enthusiasm. And my fits of worldliness have thrown me back from my advances in the divine life. I had need to beware of lean prayers, lean praises, lean duties, and lean experiences, for these will eat up the fat of my comfort and peace. If I neglect prayer for never so short a time, I lose all the spirituality to which I had attained. If I draw no fresh supplies from heaven, the old corn in my granary is soon consumed by the famine which rages in my soul. When the caterpillars of indifference, the canker worms of worldliness, and the palmer worms of self-indulgence lay my heart completely desolate and make my soul to languish, all my former fruitfulness and growth in grace avails me nothing whatever. How anxious should I be to have no lean flesh days, no ill-favored hours! If every day I journeyed towards the goal of my desires, I should soon reach it. But backsliding leaves me still far off from the prize of my high calling, and robs me of the advances which I had so laboriously made. The only way in which all my days can be as the fat kine is to feed them in the right meadow, to spend them with the Lord, in His service, in His company, in His fear, and in His way. Why should not every year be richer than the past in love and usefulness and joy? I am nearer the celestial hills. I've had more experience of my Lord and should be more like Him. O Lord, keep far from me the curse of leanness of soul. Let me not have to cry, my leanness, woe unto me. But may I be well fed and nourished in Thy house, that I may praise Thy name.
From glory to glory Thou leadest me on. I never could praise Thee enough. Thou bearest my burdens and givest a song, and smoothest my path when so rough. For Thou art the song of my soul, the fair ones to me. O Savior divine and ruler of all, my heart finds its comfort in Thee. My heart finds its comfort in Thee. My crosses are turned into glorious crowns,
sighs into radiant smiles. Like rivers of mercy, thy peace comes and drowns the agonies wrought by the trials.
Oh, thou art the song of my soul, the fairest of fair ones to me. Savior divine and ruler of all, my heart finds its comfort in thee. My heart finds its comfort in thee. I'll tell of thy goodness and sing of thy love these days as a pilgrim below. And when I in rapture behold thee above, forever thy name I'll extol. For thou art the song of my soul,
its comfort in thee.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing this series in 1 Thessalonians, Pastor Damasian brings the next portion of the third of three messages on the subject of the day of the Lord. The text is verses 8 through 11 of chapter 5 of the epistle. Once again, there is an emphasis upon watchfulness, for because of the long delay in Christ's return, it is easy for Christians to become sleepy and to lose their sense of urgency. The Apostle Paul reminds believers of who they are in Christ and how that should keep them prepared for the Lord's second advent. Now, to continue this message, here is Pastor Damasian.
The greater portion of the text is laying out what is true, that we already essentially have the breastplate of faith and love on, and the hope of salvation, the helmet of the hope of salvation. These things are already true of us because we are of the day. Let us who are of the day, being of the day, because we are children of the day, we are clothed with this breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Therefore, let us be sober, if you can read it that way. And that's really the thrust of the text. And what Paul is therefore doing again is laying out, here's what's true about you, beloved. And as we said last week, when you know what is true about you, it begins to influence how you live. It helps you. And we said last week, in relation to a soldier, once someone becomes a soldier, once they know they're a soldier, once they have that, once they're in that, it has an impact. It changes how they live. And how much more applicable does that become whenever we read this text and it's saying to you, you have this already. You're wearing a breastplate and you're wearing a helmet. Be aware of that. And it should form and help you navigate your life. It shapes how you live. It helps you to understand the environment in which you're living and how, therefore, to face the world in which you're living. You understand, well, I have this armor on. Why have I this armor on? Why have I this helmet? Why have I this breastplate? What is all of this? And it helps us then to understand how we are to live. So, again, when you're reading this, it's not Paul saying you need to put these things on as if you don't have them on. You have them on already. Paul elsewhere exhorts Christians in similar language in light of the Lord's return. And the thrust of Paul's emphasis in these various passages, and we'll turn to some of them in just a moment, is always to encourage Christians to put off sin in various forms and put on that which is pleasing to God. In other words, get rid of that which is an opposite to what you really are and reflect upon that which you have and kind of additionally put it on in your mind. Realize what you're wearing. Now, for example, if you turn over to Romans chapter 13, you will see this. Romans chapter 13. The end of this epistle, or near the end of it, Paul begins to get very practical. In Romans 13, the end of the chapter, he deals with armor, just like what we're reading about, breastplate, helmet. And Romans 13, verse 12, and again, you can see the context is in relation to the Lord's return. You can see verse 11, very similar language even in what we're dealing with. We'll read from verse 11, in fact. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Have we been dealing with that? Yes, we have. That was the emphasis last Lord's Day. The emphasis on watchfulness, not being sleepy, not drifting. And so it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So there you have an exhortation, as it were. There's encouragement to put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now, he's writing to the church. Have these people put on Christ? Yes. They've put on Christ. These people are justified in the sight of God. They have appropriated the gospel to themselves. You could say, very aptly, they have put on Christ. But by the same token, it is not wrong for Paul then to exhort them, put on Christ. In other words, having taken Christ, having made Christ your own, continue then to understand what you are as a Christian. Mold your life by the reality that there is in your life. As a believer, you have Christ, you've taken Christ, put on Christ. And so, it's put in other language in verse 12, put on the armor of light. The armor of light is, there's distinction, but it's almost, you could say, synonymous with putting on Christ. There are things that you're putting on because of what you are, you have them, and at the same time, you're still appropriating more of it into your life. And so there's exhortation that helps us understand what is true and yet still pushes us to endeavor to seek for more. And that's why that commentator says that there's both a statement about identity and responsibility. There's something that is true here as well as something that is part of our responsibility. It's what I have, but it's also what I must do. This idea of putting on Christ and putting off things, you find it in various other portions. I'll read some passages for you. Galatians 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In other words, if you were already baptized, that is not talking about water baptism here, but we're talking about that which is that standing that you have in Christ, that you're joined to Christ, you're in union with Christ, you're justified before God through Christ. As many of you to whom that applies have put on Christ. You've put him on. That's already true of you. In Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24, he exhorts that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And the new man is that which reflects Christ. That which is pure righteousness and true holiness. And the exhortation is to put this on. Now, had they already got it? Yes. There was a sense in which it was already true, but they're ongoing in an ongoing way, an ongoing pattern. They're seeking to bring more of the reality of what they have to bear in their lives. Colossians 3. Verses 8 through 10. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. That's something that's done. You've done this already. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So even the emphasis in Colossians is more upon that which has already taken place, while in Ephesians, dealing with the same truths, the emphasis seems to be upon continuing to do this very thing. Now, it is not saying that salvation is progressive. It's not saying that in the sense of justifying, the fact that we are justified over a period of time. We are justified in a moment of time. We are saved in a nanosecond, where we are in a moment, just like the Lord's return in the twinkling of an eye, you're joined to Christ. And you have this experience of being liberated from the condemnation that is upon you because of sin. And it's all removed. And you're free from that. And there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But at the same time then, there's a continual experience of understanding what I have in Christ and appropriating this. Beloved, this is so critical to grasp. To realize what you have and then to work out what is to be true about you. These two things. If you look at Paul's epistles chronologically, then we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as the first time Paul is talking about this kind of armor and putting these things on. And so when he says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. let us realize we have put these things on, continuing to put them on, and we do so because this reflects the sober mind. Now, what does it mean to put on these things that he depicts as a breastplate and as a helmet? Faith and love and hope. Everything I've said up to now is saying that these things are already present, and yet, in one sense, they are to still be developed in their life. And you should not be surprised that that is the case. If you go back to chapter 1 and the beginning of the epistle, you will see that these same things, faith, love, hope, are already in the believers in this church. They're already present. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. You see it? Faith, love, hope. And he's remembering without ceasing what is already on display. He has witnessed it. Everyone can see it. As you look at the congregation, you can see faith. You can see love. You can see hope is on display. They have put those things on. And you may rightly say, they're wearing this breastplate. And they're wearing this helmet. And they're living. They're living exactly what Paul is exhorting them and encouraging them to do and to live. And so when we come to chapter 5, as we're emphasizing this point, and it's vital that we grasp it. This is true already. It's true of every child of God. They have already put on the breastplate of faith and love. And they already have on the helmet of hope. That's already there, the hope of salvation. That is already existing. If it was not true, you wouldn't be a Christian. You wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't be enjoying the blessings of the gospel. You wouldn't know your sins forgiven. You wouldn't have peace with God. So what is this faith, this love, and this hope of salvation? Well, back when we dealt with chapter 1, verse 3, we considered the faith in three ways. Faith is first resting on Christ. It is also repentance from sin. And is also being rich in good works. And the emphasis is no doubt more on the latter, their work of faith. The work that is produced by their faith, essentially, is the point. And so you can see that how they live is because of the faith that they have. And what Paul is saying here in chapter 5 is, put that on. Now, it's already there, you're putting that on, but continue. This is an ongoing thing of putting on the breastplate of faith. That you never stop doing this. You don't give up. You don't take a hiatus. You don't take a break or a vacation from this. You're constantly doing this. And it's all in light of the Lord's return. If there is the day of the Lord, if Christ is returning in power and in glory, then those that are his who are of the day and are of the light are continuing to live, working out their faith, a faith that works. And so they're busily engaged in their responsibilities, bringing glory to God. And this is a breastplate for them. This protects their heart. It protects them. It's part of the warfare. The person who doesn't live this way leaves themselves exposed. They're not ready for the return of the Lord. They're going to be slain by that great and awful event. But those that are ready, those that are prepared, reflect their preparation by having this breastplate of faith that works. What way does it work? It works in many ways. I guess the question you ask yourself is, does my faith work? Does it? Does it work? Does my faith in Christ work? What I mean by that is, does it influence things in your life? Does it govern decisions? Does it not help you navigate through life? Your faith is integral to what you do and where you go and how you respond to the things that are going on around you. And times again, decision making very much this comes to the fore. Why am I making this decision, or what decision should I make? And we come, and our faith works in the midst of that. Our faith is directing our hearts, directing our minds, helping us understand what is the will of God here. When we are standing before something that is going on, maybe something sinful or maybe something that's right, do I align myself with what is good? Do I withdraw from that which is evil? Is my faith working? Does it work in those moments, perhaps even that you did not foresee? Does your faith work? When you see a need, does your faith work? You're tempted to, we're talking about this morning, and you just, like the Good Samaritan, what the Lord taught there, and you have the danger of being the priest and the Levite, and you pass over on the other side because your faith doesn't work. In that moment, in that time, there's a man in need. Your faith doesn't work. Whatever the professed faith that you have, the priest, the Levite, it doesn't work in that moment. But the Samaritan, his faith works. He sees. It launches him into a response. His faith works.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.